So my name is Kirsten Lang. I'm currently working with DIP, Division of International Protection, on a joint role with UNICEF. And I'm Senior Disability Advisor, so working to support both UNHCR and UNICEF to ensure inclusion of persons with disabilities. I was previously with UNHCR as Senior Disability Advisor in a role that involved support to UNHCR's field operations and to our institutional processes in terms of including people with disabilities. And prior to that, I had quite a mixed experience, so both working in disability-specific roles and more general protection roles in the field.
So I thought I'd start out with quite a basic question. When discussing disability, how should we frame the discussion? Because sometimes we've discussed, when I've been discussing diversity and inclusion issues with colleagues for this project, there's some things that we feel quite equipped to talk about, and there are certain topics in certain areas where we don't feel very equipped. So for example, a lot of people are getting a bit better at talking about gender, and there's been improvements in how people are talking about sexuality, the sort of the language is there, but in terms of disability, people sort of quiet down a little bit, and they're worried that they'll say the wrong thing. They don't know how to frame the conversation. So what would your advice be? What would your explanation be?
I think it's a very good question, because this has been exactly my experience also. So when I'm talking to people outside the world of disability advocates, people tend to get a little bit nervous. They don't know whether to use the word people with specific needs, disabled people, people with disabilities. And my first point I wanted to make was that people get very caught up in words, and we don't need to worry so much about the language. What is really important is that we view disability from a rights perspective. So previously, disability had been seen very much from a medical perspective. It was seen very much as a medical issue. And so a lot of people are still quite nervous about talking about disability, because they feel that it's a medical issue that they're not equipped to address. But we've moved beyond that. So we now recognise that disability is a rights issue, and that people with disabilities are not people who are sick, or they're not purely people with impairments. So what we need to do is, disability no longer needs to be viewed as a medical issue or an impairment to be overcome. It needs to be viewed as an aspect of diversity, in the same way that we view age, gender, religion, or ethnicity. So in the same way that we view other aspects of diversity, disability doesn't inherently equate with vulnerability or with a lack of capacity. We need to recognise that vulnerability and exclusion are created, that people are disabled by the environment and not by their impairments alone. So by shifting away from this focus on an individual's impairments and shifting more towards looking at creating an enabling environment, I think that allows a lot more people to come into the conversation. So, for example, if all forms of communication were both in written and in sign language, people who are deaf wouldn't be considered to have a disability, because they would be able to participate on an equal basis. So the conversation isn't about how do we make people who are deaf be able to hear. The conversation is about how do we make all information accessible to people who communicate in different ways. So what that means is that we need to talk much less about what people with disabilities can and can't do, and we need to talk much more about how we can work together to create enabling environments that give everyone equal opportunities and that are better for all. And this also means that the focus needs to shift more internally. We need to be a little more self-aware about how we may be inadvertently creating exclusion for certain groups of people.
So what are some of the challenges facing colleagues with disabilities in different contexts?
So by far the biggest challenge that people with disabilities face, including our colleagues with disabilities, is attitudes about disability, assumptions about what they can and can't do, and facing discrimination on the basis of those assumptions. So people often make assumptions about what persons with disabilities can and can't do. In our organisation, assumptions are sometimes made that persons with disabilities are not able to work with UNHCR, particularly in field locations. These assumptions, they fail to recognise diversity among persons with disabilities, and they lead to discrimination in the workplace, whereby persons with disabilities are not given equal opportunities. And these assumptions also prevent UNHCR from benefiting from the skills and experience that persons with disabilities could bring to the organisation. A more diverse workplace is more innovative, and persons with disabilities, because of the barriers that they face every day, may be better able to develop solutions that benefit a wider range of people. I sometimes hear that persons with disabilities are not able to work with UNHCR because we work in difficult environments or because our work involves a lot of travel. But these things in and of themselves do not constitute an obstacle to employing persons with disabilities. Persons with disabilities do work in difficult environments, and they certainly do travel. So we need to ask them, what do you need to be able to contribute in this work environment? What adaptations can be made, which are likely to make the workforce better for everybody? Well, I think what's important to understand first and foremost is that UNHCR, like any other employer, has a responsibility to provide what we call reasonable accommodation, which enables persons with disabilities to participate in the workplace on an equal basis. So reasonable accommodation might be small adaptations that are made in the workplace, whether that be to the physical environment, to work processes, etc. And the provision of reasonable accommodation is not special treatment given on discretion of managers. Reasonable accommodation is a right and must be provided. And it's also important for us to remember that UNHCR does not need to have all the answers. Persons with disabilities themselves know what adaptations, if any, they need in the workplace. And these adaptations are often very simple and low cost, and if they're implemented, they enable UNHCR to benefit from the diverse skills and capacities that persons with disabilities bring. So, for people who are listening, as a manager, the first step is to ask staff, including those with disabilities, how the workplace can be made more accessible and inclusive. Viewing disability as an aspect of diversity to be valued rather than as a medical issue to be resolved, and viewing persons with disabilities as rights holders with skills and capacities rather than as passive recipients of assistance is key to promoting inclusion and equal opportunities for participation. So, for example, if we're developing policies around inclusion of persons with disabilities, then persons with disabilities themselves need to be at the table. They're the experts. So the key to this is really dialogue. Talk with persons with disabilities. Have them at the table. Ask them what adaptations are needed. Ask them how the workplace can be made more inclusive. I would say that is really the key.
Do you think that there are lessons to be learnt from other, not just UN agencies, but other sectors even? Where are, do you think, the bright spots of disability inclusion? Who's doing it really well? What can we learn from them?
Mm-hmm. There are a number of private sector companies that I think have very much recognised the value of having an inclusive workplace and including persons with disabilities in the workplace. And I think one that stands out particularly is probably the IT sector. Some of the larger IT companies have recognised that persons with disabilities come with innovative ideas about how to make technology more accessible to everybody because they have had this experience of facing barriers in accessing technology. And so I think for UNHCR, we can learn from that in that if we are working with persons of concern who come from very diverse backgrounds, we also need to reflect that diversity in our workplace. So having persons with disabilities in the workplace who have themselves directly experienced these barriers will help us to better come up with solutions that make our protection and assistance programming more inclusive, more accessible to everybody. So one example comes to mind particularly, which is of another UN agency. And what they've done is they've created a centrally held fund, which is held at headquarters, which is funded by 1% of all staff travel, then goes into this fund. 50% of it is used for initiatives around greening, so environmental initiatives. The other 50% is to fund reasonable accommodation. So where one of the field officers or regional officers employ a person with a disability, any reasonable accommodation that is required to be made in that office can be funded through this centrally held reasonable accommodation fund. And, I mean, what it allows that organisation then to do is to employ persons with disabilities on an equal basis with others. So in this and in a number of other UN agencies, I've seen persons with disabilities working at all levels of the organisation, both at headquarters and field locations, and adding in a different perspective to the work, so bringing in something more innovative, more creative, and it's been very positive.